Importance of Fear is a horror fiction podcast which is intended for mature audiences. Discretion is advised. Welcome, Fearlings, to another weird and horrifying tale made just for you. I am your host, Mashulu, and I'll be your guide into the macabre and mysterious. Tonight's story begs the question, would you believe your partner about the hole in the basement? Before we get started, take a moment to like, subscribe, and ring that notification bell so you don't miss a single terrifying story. Rochelle did not see the hole when she stepped into it. She was carrying a laundry basket laden with the kids' clothes and her broken dreams. The headphones in her ears played the latest crime podcast. Then reality shifted as she found herself falling forward. The impact was hard, and suddenly everything hurt. Son of a... She murmured to herself as she tried to move, but Rochelle soon found out that her ankle was broken. Searing pain radiated up her left leg. She sat up and looked for what had sent her crashing to the ground, and there, in the middle of the basement floor, was a 1-foot-wide hole. It was a perfect circle in the concrete. She tried to stand up, but had nothing nearby to grab onto, and she was sure she may have cracked her kneecap as well. Her head throbbed, and a golf ball-sized lump had formed on the side of her head. But the hole was different. Interesting. Why was it there? It seemed cold and inviting at the same time. Did her idiot husband start a project without warning her or the kids? Her curiosity gave Rochelle the will to turn her body towards it to see what could be down this hole. Rochelle reached the edge of the hole and peered down into it. She could not see the bottom, just a darkness. Staring down, she lost herself in thought. The years of her life rose up the 1-foot shaft through the darkness and hit her like a truck. Memories of what was lost and a deep depression over what could have been. She felt like she had wasted so much of her life. What was she even doing with the time she had left? Sure, she loved her kids and husband. Didn't she? In that moment, Rochelle was only certain of one thing, that nothing mattered. Looking into the hole made her feel hopeless and small and lost all at once. Rochelle woke up in the hospital. Her husband Pete was sitting next to the bed with a look of relief when she opened her eyes. Welcome back to the land of the living. We were worried, he said gently, while patting her hand. How did I get here? She mumbled while trying to sit up. Pete motioned for her to stay still. Take it easy. Don't move. You took a bad fall and banged yourself up good, he told her. Why didn't you tell me you had dug a hole in the basement? I almost broke my neck, she asked as her brain came back online. Her head felt like a block of pain. What hole? The one in the basement that I tripped over? Pete, I've told you your projects would hurt someone someday. I just didn't know it would be me. I had the laundry in my hands and my foot went right in and bam, hospital. You need to be more careful. Honey, I didn't start a new project. There is no hole down there. I'm not sure why you fell. Maybe there was water on the floor, but there was no hole, he assured her. I'm not crazy. There was a hole in the middle of the floor, Pete. Okay. Maybe I didn't see it, but I know I didn't dig a hole. That would take a jackhammer to get through the slab. When I was down there, I focused on you and didn't see it. I'll check when we get home. Glad I didn't step in it, he lied. He knew there was no hole. Pete had gotten home with the kids at 4 o'clock as usual. It was Friday, and he was excited for a weekend of working on his 1968 Mustang Fastback on a Saturday and watching football with the kids on Sunday. He was even thinking about taking Rochelle out that Saturday night to dinner. Maybe drop the kids off at his mom's for the night? She lived a few doors down. It had been a while since they'd gone out on a date. Hell, they may even have sex. What a weekend that would be. Arriving home, he called out for Rochelle as his two kids darted upstairs to play some video game he didn't understand. Eldritch Ring or something? He had no clue. Her car was out front, so she had to be home. She was always home. When no reply came, he searched the house. Nothing. Then he texted her. 30 minutes went by and Pete decided to track her phone. This was something he didn't want to do, but he was starting to get worried. It said her phone was in the house. That's when he remembered it was laundry day, and she was more than likely downstairs, the one place he didn't check. Pete walked down the stairs to find her lying on the concrete floor. He rushed over to check for life. She was breathing, thank God. From what he could tell, she must have fallen, hit her head, and passed out. He had no idea how long Rochelle had been unconscious. There was no evidence of what she had tripped on. Her ankle was swollen, purplish red, and he could tell the bones were, well, wrong. She had bled from the head, but that seemed to have stopped. A thought entered his mind right then. There goes my weekend. He shook his head as if to try to push the thought away. He tried to wake her, but couldn't. He called 911 and then his mom to come watch the kids. When the ambulance picked her up 10 minutes later, he followed her in his car. Finally, the worry for her drowned out that thought, there goes my weekend. There would be other weekends. Rochelle was discharged from the hospital Saturday morning and spent the whole weekend in bed. Pete searched the basement for the hole, but there was nothing there. She did hit her head hard, he thought. Rochelle couldn't make it down the stairs, so she had to rely on Pete for everything. It was frustrating. The kids didn't really seem fazed or interested in her well-being. They came by when forced to check on her or to do something. She argued with Pete several times about the hole. She knew it was there. She had broken her ankle in the damn thing. Not to mention the cracked kneecap and concussion. Long hours in bed brought questions. She had always loved her husband, right? She had always loved her kids for sure. Didn't she? Her mind wandered back to the hole in the basement, the darkness and depth of it, the cold feeling of emptiness, of loneliness. It was saying something in a language she did not understand. There was no way she dreamt of that darkness or of the deafening silence that accompanied it. Weeks went by, and slowly Rochelle's body got better. She was finally able to get up and down the stairs on her own. The leg cast was going to be with her for a few months, but she was not going to sit upstairs for that whole time. She told Pete she would take it easy. What choice did she have? His mother didn't need to stay all day. If she needed Jean, she would call her. The first few days, she just ended up watching TV downstairs instead of upstairs in her room. She let her mind wander and thought about college and how much fun it was. Playing role-playing games, the Star Wars movie nights, book club, and then she met Pete. He was not her type. He was into sports and cars, while she liked classical music and nerdy guys, but there was something about him. He was tall and confident, but sweet and charming. She knew he didn't care about the arts or Star Wars, but he pretended to, and that was enough for her. They spent so much time together, going to parties she would never have gone to before him, that she almost had to take her whole third year over again. She pulled it out, though. Rochelle never thought about anyone else after meeting Pete, at least not for a time. Pete ran a construction company. He had buddies with cash who set him up because, of course, he did. Pete's ability to bro his way through life was both a benefit and an annoyance to Rochelle. He had charmed his way through school with C grades, and now Pete had more money than they would ever need because all the doors just swung open for him. It wasn't right. She was a pet bird in a gilded cage of her own making. At least that's how she felt sometimes. The reality was that Pete's sweetness was great, and he was an amazing dad. The kids were great too. She had a wonderful life, so why was she so angry at him? Why was she questioning her love for her own children? She was lucky. She had everything she could want. She didn't feel trapped at all. Her life was perfect, just like the hole, perfect circle reaching down into the bowels of the earth. Its perfection made her wonder where it led. Was there anything beyond the darkness? The door opened to the house, and she snapped back into reality, her face slicked with tears. "Honey, I'm home," Pete called like a TV dad from the 50s. It never bothered her before, so why did it now? "Hi," she replied weakly. She realized she had been sitting in the same spot for 5 hours and had soiled the couch. Oh, hell, she thought, and quickly covered the mess up. "Everything okay?" Pete asked as he came into the room. "I dropped the kids off at Mom's so we could have a nice evening together." That's when he noticed her face. "What's wrong?" "I fell asleep and had an accident," she admitted while uncovering the stain. "It's okay, babe. I'll get the cleaner and take care of it." He put a smile on to try to reassure her. "Do you need help upstairs to clean up?" "Yeah, meet me upstairs." "Sorry about this," she said. "No problem. You're recovering from a major fall. I understand," he replied. He then set about cleaning the couch and wondering why his wife seemed so distant. The doctor said the brain scans didn't show any damage. She should be fine. Why was she not fine yet? He took a deep breath. Everything would be back to normal soon. This will be in the past soon enough. "Hey, Pete, I think you left my clothes in the basement," she called down. "Okay, I'll get them," he replied. "Watch out for the hole," she reminded him. He stopped at the door to the basement. Rochelle had mentioned the hole almost every day since the accident, but there was no hole. Why couldn't she just let it go? Again, there is no hole, babe. You dreamt it after hitting your head. He couldn't stop himself. He had to say it. She needed to get past this obsession. I know what I tripped on, she yelled down, full of rage. He'd never heard her yell or get angry like that. She had always been a nice, bookish girl. She was a good mother. This wasn't her at all. He went downstairs, turning on all the lights to look for the hole Rochelle believed was there, and once again found nothing. He grabbed her clothes from the dryer. He couldn't wait for things to get back to normal. It's right there, he heard from behind him. He slowly turned to find Rochelle at the bottom of the stairs, naked, pointing at the middle of the floor. I told you I tripped on it, and it's been here the entire time. Why are you trying to gaslight me, Pete? I know what I tripped on. Her voice was full of the sharpest daggers. Pete looked at the spot she was pointing at. There's nothing there, babe, he replied. Stop saying that. I can see it right there, she insisted. Maybe we need to talk to a professional. The fall may have caused some damage that the doctors can't see on the scans. There is no hole there, I promise. Whatever you think is there just isn't, he said, hoping she'd calm down. He had heard of wives overreacting, but not his Rochelle. She was always too sweet. I'm not crazy. It's right there, Pete. You're lying and you know it. Why won't you admit you're lying, Pete? She said in a low voice. Fine, Rochelle, where is it? He stepped right to its edge. Stop. You're in front of it. How can you not see the thing? It's at your feet, she demanded. He looked down. Again, nothing. He lowered to touch the ground. First his hand, then the rest of his arm, all the way up to his shoulder, sank into the hole. He could finally see it. I told you. Now get your hand out of there, she ordered. I can't. It's stuck, he said. Pete pulled hard, but his arm would not budge. Suddenly, he felt like he was being pulled down into the hole. His clavicle snapped as the force slowly started to drag him down. Blood sprayed out of his eyes, nose, and ears because it had nowhere else to go. He screamed right up to the point where his head popped off from the sheer force of suction. Rochelle watched in horror as Pete's entire body was squeezed into a one-foot-wide hole in her basement. All that was left was a river of blood and his head staring back at her with now dead eyes. Without a thought, she walked over and kicked Pete's head into the hole with her good leg. It too was dragged down with a horrible crunching sound. Then she made her way upstairs. She hadn't noticed the blood on her. She was still in shock. With great effort, she washed herself off, wrestled on her clothes, and called her mother-in-law. Jean, this is Rochelle. Can you send the kids home? Thanks. Click. Well, I guess Pete should have listened to his wife. How about you? Would you have believed Rochelle? Please be sure to tell us in the comments. If you liked this Portents of Fear tale, consider joining our Patreon. There's a link in the description below. Want more horrific stories? Click on one of our other episodes on your screen now. Good night, Fearlings. Sleep well, if you can.